Pastor Don loves gizmos. I know you know that. If you've been around here a while, you've seen him playing with all these things, getting the little mark on the screen just right so it'll go clickety-click. I don't even know how to put the mark up there. I can't get the light to go on the screen, let alone the mark. Am I still whistling? Okay. You guys want to turn to this? Or you want to just take my word for it? I'm going to read it out of here. It's up to you. But in case you want to look, it's in Mark 6. And I say where I'm going to start. How about 53? That's a good place. Mark 6, 53. Does anybody need a Bible? If anybody needs one, I'll make sure you get it. You need one? Carl. Secure us one. Now, I don't have a church Bible, so I can't tell you which page. It's not the same page as the one I have, so, you know, I'll wait on you to find it. Mark 6:53. Unless you're going to take my word. John's going to take my word. That's okay. I wouldn't do this wrong. Thank goodness. This is not like the drive-through. Because I never get the right order when I go through the drive-thru. I think I speak a different language. You know, I must. Because I missed my egg yesterday morning. I got the biscuit. No egg. Okay. Are we ready? Jesus is going about doing good. The Bible tells us so, okay? He's healing the sick and healing the blind, and I'm whistling at my best, okay? So he does some good stuff on one side of the lake, and then he decides to cross over. So he crosses over the lake, and he landed at... Gennesaret. I don't know whether that's correct or not. Okay? It's a foreign name. Okay? It's not Lake Wiley. I know that. But he crossed over this lake and they anchored the boat there. I don't know why that anchored the boat's in there, but I'm sure there's a reason. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized who he was. In the area. You know, they were hanging out.
Me too.
They were hanging out down on the shore, you know, looking at the beautiful sea, enjoying the breeze, and here comes Jesus. And they recognize who he is right away because they had heard a lot of stuff about him. Word got around. Without the media, how long do you think it would take word to get around Charlotte if we raised three or four from the dead over here? Do you think it would take four Sundays? No, I don't either. How about if we just one time cleaned out the hospital, Presbyterian, I know that by name. I don't know who owns what anymore. They keep jumping around. Let's say we go. Is there a Presbyterian?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say we go over to the Presbyterian as soon as we get through reading this verse and we clean it out. Everybody over there. Terminally ill to the babies with the sniffles. Everybody runs away healed and jumping and hooping and hollering and acting crazy like they've... You know, if you've never jumped in 25 years, jumping is a big thing. We go over and clean it down. How long do you think it would take for the word to get around? I guarantee you, if, wish Dorothy was here because I wanted to use her. If Dorothy came up and come in the front door, there'd be a crowd out there she'd have to fight through to get to the door. Thinking, oh, we can get it here. That's what they were thinking. So these people recognized Jesus. Huh? Listen. They ran throughout, and this says the whole region. If you just use neighborhood, that's big enough. But region, I don't know what region means. Half a mile, mile, you know, that's a small country over in Israel. I lost my volume. But it'll come back. Y'all can hear me, can't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, there I am. There I was. They went throughout the neighborhood. Let's put it that way. And they carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. Do you understand? If you're sick enough that you have to be carried on anything, let alone a mat, you in bad shape. If you can't stand up and walk, you in bad shape. Right? Okay. And whenever, wherever Jesus went into the villages or towns in the countryside, these people placed the sick in the marketplace where they thought he was going to be passing by the way. Then they begged Jesus to let these sick people just touch the edge of his cloak. Touch. Not give him a big bear hug. Just touch the edge of his cloak. They begged him. And the good is, all who touched him, every single one, every single person that touched him was healed. It's impossible for me to believe that all these people were doing what's right in their life. I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. But it's not dependent on them. It depended on whether they were willing to reach out and touch the least little thing that they could get that was associated with Jesus. They didn't. They didn't have to graduate from Seminary. They didn't have to graduate. They didn't have to be the children of the high priest. They were just plain sick people living in the region. Since they were close to the lake, and what happened on the lake was a bunch of fishing went on. Now, I don't know whether you know any fishermen or not, but they really can stretch the truth. Huh? They can tell some fish stories that make you accept why there was a fish big enough to swallow Noah or Jonah. Jonah. Probably could have swallowed Noah and the ark too. Some of them can tell them that big. But here these people are, and they just heard that Jesus could do this. And they gather up everybody they can find. They heard it happen to a lady down here that had been sick for a long time, and that's all she did was just reach out and touch the hem of his cloak, and she was healed. Word got around. And here they come. Isn't communication wonderful? You know what? I was in the communication field for 25 years. With the number one company in the world at one time. Now it's been divided up to who knows. But one thing I learned in the field that I was in, that it is very difficult to communicate. Even if you're speaking to someone about the subject that they know well. You know it, and they know it. It's still difficult to communicate. And so for a long time, I looked for a reason. Now, Martha's gone, so I can crack jokes about Martha. And it doesn't make her nervous. Don't tell her. It's all right. She used to tell me, you just, here she comes. I love her. How long we been married, babe? 44 years, see? So you know it's working. Oh, boy. She used to tell me, I started to tell you something on you, and I might as well go ahead because since I got caught. She used to say, you just don't listen. You just don't listen. That's why you didn't hear what I said. So I started making an appointment to listen. Huh? And now I have to shake my head because what she said is not what she says the second time, you see. And then I think, I heard what she said the first time because she's already corrected me and trained me well. And now she's changing her story and telling me I didn't hear what she said, but I did. Isn't that right? See? But that's all right. I'm still in school. So here these people are, and they hear the word, Jesus is in town. They didn't tell everybody he's come to heal all the sick. They just didn't care. They had somebody they cared about, and they was going to get them down there to him. See? Isn't that the way it is? I mean, if you really, really love somebody and they're laying on the ground hurting, you're going to do something. If you don't have a cell phone, you're going to catch the first person that comes by and dial 911, if nothing else. You're going to do something. You're not going to just walk off and leave them if you care about them now. I mean, now, if you've just been waiting for them to get there, well, then you may gloat over that. But that's not good. Mm-mm. No, that's not good. Pastor called me when? Yesterday? Well, He called me this morning, but I wasn't at home. He forgot I left early. So anyway, he said, I need to get Michelle out of the hospital this morning and take her home. They're going to turn her loose from the hospital. That's why he's not here. I didn't tell you that, but I am. See, so. He says, can y'all handle it? Well, I'm thinking there's four of us, you know. We can handle it. If I'd known it was just going to be two of us, I'd have said, well, yeah, we can handle it, but we're going to have to work at it. And if I'd known Bryce was going to go back in the back and count the money, I'd have said, boy, it's going to be tough. But I didn't know James was going to be here this morning. If I'd have known that, I would have said, hey, it doesn't make any difference. But it wouldn't have made any difference anyway, see. But I'm thinking about this. The other day I was riding down the road, which I do a lot of. And I thought, you know, one of these days I'm going to get, let me just put it this way. What happened to the children that used to look to the adults for information and they trusted what they said? Could be because we got so many perverts in the world today. I don't know. You know, but when I was growing up, when an adult told you something, hey, I paid attention. And I flat never even considered telling one, hey, get lost. Never crossed my mind. Now, today's a different story. See? But when I was way back there and I was paying attention and all these adults was inputting stuff into my head, I listened and listened and listened. And I thought, one of these days, I'm going to be an adult. I'm going to be old enough that when I speak to somebody, they're going to say, I think he might know what he's talking about. I think I'm going to pay attention. And at least, if not that far, far enough to say, I'm going to weigh what he says. Huh? Well, when you get to that point there, I'm going to weigh what's happening. You one step away from being able to receive something by reaching out and touching. Jesus put it this way. You are close to the kingdom of God. When the boys give him the right answer about some stuff. You know, when they was putting the questions and Jesus says, I like your answer. You're close. He didn't say he was in the kingdom, but you're close to it. You're close enough, he could have said, to reach out and touch it. The hem of it. Huh? Now, I don't want y'all to get too serious because you'll go to sleep. Okay, so with that, as they used to say in the prepared messages, that was my introduction. Aren't you glad I don't talk too fast? Because if I had, I'd have been through with it in 2 minutes. And we would have had to kill 35 or 40 more minutes of blah, 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 nothing. See? I give it time for it to soak in. Takes time for me. I'm just assuming I'm normal. That's a word. Mercy, mercy. I've been abnormal for 31 years. Well, that's what they say. When you get saved and the Spirit of God comes inside of you, you become a different person. You could say abnormal is different, isn't it? Normal is normal. So I was thinking about this, see, on the way to church a few years ago. And I was thinking, what gets these people to rush down there with all those sick people just on hearing that Jesus might heal them. Because they still had to reach out and touch his hem. Of course, if you were laying next to somebody who was all crippled up and hadn't been on their feet in 30 years, and he reached over and touched Jesus' hem, and he jumped up and did a cartwheel, wouldn't that be something? You might think, ooh, I'm close enough. Huh? But in the beginning, on the way down there on the mat, all these thoughts got to be going through your head. Why won't these boys leave me in the shade? Leave me alone. I'm comfortable. They moving me around. This is just too much. And they think something's going to happen when I get down there. Yada, 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 yada. Listen, if you never had the enemy whisper little nothings in your ear, well, I know you have if you're alive. Huh? So, I mean, I know that. Whether you're in the kingdom or not. If he's whispered lots of them, you're not in yet. And if he's still whispering, that means he's trying to get you to go astray. That's all. Yeah. That's the best he can do. He can't kill you. He doesn't have a right. And since Jesus prayed us a nice, good prayer in John 17, you don't have to worry about him doing you under. He says, Father, protect them from the evil one. Huh? So we're all right. The evil one's not going to do you under. Now, if you jump out of an airplane without a chute, and I was taking odds whether you were going to make it or not, I'd be a rich man, because not many of you would make it. It has happened. But for everyone it happens, whoa, there's a number up there that won't, you wouldn't believe how many that don't make it. See? So I'm standing here, older than I was when I thought that thought about one of these days I'm going to be old enough to say something to somebody, and they might just look at my old frame and say, you know, he may know what he's talking about. Now, the reason I'm saying that way is, big, you know, there's a possibility we might have 1, 2, who knows, we may have 15 that have never touched the hem of his garment. I don't know. That's not my job to know. But I am acquainted with people that look at somebody else and they say, there's a possibility he knows what he's saying. Now, the church world requires you to have a diploma, don't they? They want you to have a sheepskin on the wall, or maybe 15 of them if you're in a big church. I don't know. But that's what's supposed to make people respect what you say. Huh? I'm telling you the truth. And if you don't have it, well, who are you to be talking to us? Huh? Who are you trying to share something? You didn't graduate from Come Later. You're just a person. Now, getting old didn't even enter into it. And getting old is supposed to collect you some wisdom along the way. It's what the word says. What happens when you get white hair? I haven't got a whole lot of wisdom, but Edom's full. Look at here. He's got a lot, and I love it. See? Anyway, this is important. I want you to get this. If you love someone, truly love them, you will not do anything in the world to hurt them at all. You hear me? If you truly love someone, you won't do a thing. Not intentionally now. I'm talking about if you do something unintentionally, it won't take you but just a second to try to straighten it out. Whether they accept it or not, I don't know. But you won't do anything intentionally to hurt somebody you love. Now, that's set in stone. And it's also set in the word, which is better than stone. He says, if you love me, him speaking, him Jesus, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Now, he was questioned about some commandments, which is the greatest, and how do I enter the, how can I get into the kingdom? How can I have eternal life? I think the rich man come and ask him. And he says, well, you have to, you know, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Don't steal, don't kill, don't honor your father and your mother. I've done all those things since I was a tot. And then Jesus let him have the real problem that was in his life. He said, well, just give your money away. Come on, follow me, and you'll get there. And it was the straw that it took to break that camel's back. Okay? So here we go. When you love someone, you can obey because that's what drives you. There's something inside ticking. See, when you love them, it enables people who have been married a long time to overlook faults in the other. Now, usually, since it's not too bad of a percentage here, but there's more ladies, so I'll pick on the men. Usually, the lady has to look over more faults than the men do. And that's the truth. Men develop a lot of bad faults, they do. But that doesn't mean the ladies don't have any, you know. And there comes a time when both of you, if you're going to love each other, you have to overlook stuff and allow the Lord to change it instead of you getting out a bigger stick or a hammer. Bang. You just have to let the Lord do it. Anybody relate? Okay. I was wondering if it's just happening to us. You know what I mean? Of course, we've had a lot of practice. 44 years, a long time. So I'm questioning, you see, and I'm saying, Lord, how do we get this kind of love in here? How do we get it in here? Because you're not, contrary to popular belief, you're not born with it. Given, if you just turn you loose as a child, as a baby, just crawling, and you throw one sucker on the floor, and two kids will start fighting over it. Neither one of them will say, oh, let's say it's John and Elizabeth. John won't say to Elizabeth, here, honey, you take this one. I'll wait until another one falls out of the sky. Because I love you. I got love in my heart for you. It's not so. You see one fight. One of them going to wind up with it, and the other one is going to be winding up with a big mouth open and a lot of noise coming out of it. Right? Same thing in grown-ups. Same. Same thing happens. So I ask, how do we get this love in us that we need so that we can love the Father and love our neighbors as we love ourselves? Anybody got a clue? Anybody want to guess? It's not a trick question. You can guess if you like. I didn't know this was this hard. But, okay, here we go. John the Baptist came along. And he says, because here come the Pharisees checking him out, you know, the legalized church represented in the country. In the day John the Baptist was walking, here comes the church checking him out. Hey, what you doing? What are you doing? He says, I'm just baptizing in water for the remission of sins. Why'd you come? Because I know you didn't come to get that. You'd have to admit that you are a sinner. So I know you're not going to do that. You're afraid you're going to lose your job if you do. Wordplay. See, but he told him, he says, I come to baptize with water. Now, what baptizing with water did? Took care of the sin that you had at the time. Didn't clean your conscience. No. You go do it tomorrow, you got another baptism to go through. So that's water baptism. Water baptism, that's all it was going to do. Because these people still were responsible for giving yearly offerings. They hadn't been canceled yet. The yearly offerings to God was to cover the sins of the nation for that year. Next year, you had to do it again. See? So, that's a book. It's in the book. But John says, hey, this is why I came. You can't afford a sparrow to offer? Get in the water. We can take care of it. Just don't go back out and sin anymore because you're in big trouble. The sin didn't get anybody in the kingdom. Kingdom hadn't come yet. Huh? So the kingdom showed up one day down at the river where John was baptizing. And John says, there he is. Here comes the man. Here he comes. Now, he didn't come to baptize with water. And according to the word, he never baptized anybody in water. See? Huh? According to the word, his disciples did, but he didn't. Here he comes. He came to baptize with the Holy Ghost. Huh? Now, I'm going to... The book says, in one place anyway, and with fire. I'm not touching fire. Too much argument going on over everything else. John came to baptize with water. Okay? If the love that you need to love your neighbor as yourself and to love God first was sufficient with that baptism, the second one would not have been required. wouldn't have been needed. But he says, hey, now that the one that's come and has what it takes, I need to quit this. I need to decrease. His popularity was on the rise up until then. He went the other way. Now, it's a strange popularity because it'll get you killed. Got Jesus killed. Most we ever get is words like, he's weird, strange, peculiar. But Jesus came along and he says, not with water, with the Spirit. And he tells the boys, see, he says, now, you guys hang out down in Jerusalem until I send this Spirit, this Holy Spirit, that you'll be baptized in. And when he comes, the word says you will receive power. Now we wonder, we use this, I tell you, we just slaughter words. We do. This is why communication is hard. It's hard if you're in the business to communicate. I'm telling you, I know. I've talked to people about a trouble that they knew what I was talking about, and they still didn't get it right. So talking to somebody about something that they don't know, it is real easy to get sidetracked and miss it. So I'll put this into a experience. Because you see, I can tell you that I graduated from Wake Forest. It's used to be a Christian school. Now they're demon deacons. Demon deacons. That's one of those all white black dogs. I can learn anything. You can learn it as a lost person. You can learn anything and not know what in the world you're talking about in here. Because when you receive from Jesus this baptizing in the Holy Ghost, you don't get it. You don't get a bath in the water, city water or the creek or what's the one of those lakes over in Israel? The Dead Sea? Well, maybe that might be appropriate. You might get baptized in the Dead Sea because you're going to be dead when you come out, just like it is when you go in. But when you received his baptism, the one that Christ gives, he puts into your heart a love for, number one, for the Father. You can't divide these, for the Son and the Holy Ghost. He puts that love into your heart that you never had before. You may try to copy it, but you never get it until it comes to you. Then he puts that same love, you see, has inside of it the love for your neighbor as yourself. You can actually treat people with an honest, caring heart because that's what God gives you, a new heart. And this new heart, you can love someone. You have that in you because he puts it there. It's not what you learn in school or out of the newspaper or the TV or any. You can't get it from preaching. You can't teach people the love that needs to be in here. You can't teach them. You can teach them what's going to happen if they don't do it. But you can't put it in there. If it was so, man, we'd have a different world, because I know a ton of people that would be out there throwing you on the ground, giving you mouth-to-mouth recitation, blowing that spirit into your heart, if it were possible. But it's not. See? Now, I was going to tell you about this experience needs to go with this, see, because I know it's true because of this. And some of you have heard it before. I want, just bear with me. I went to a little church up in Franklin, North Carolina. I had asked Jesus to save me here, not just another. Actually, I got saved in a Greek restaurant. But I topped it off, what you want to say, at Lamplight Church on Moorhead. And then they had this little thing called a retreat. I didn't know what that was. I love the mountains, I always have. So I said, well, I want to go. I'll retreat if they want me to, and then we'll charge when we, that's all I knew about it. Calvary charge. Okay. I went to the mountains, CB. I don't want to doctor this up in it. I'm just going to tell you the truth about it. I went up there the same old CB that I ever was, except for a minor adjustment that Jesus had made. He got the vessel ready. That was my adjustment, but I hadn't put anything in it. You understand that? Well, on the way up there, these fanatics kept talking about Jesus baptizing you with the Holy Ghost. I didn't know what in the world they were talking about. You understand that? I might as well have been from Ethiopia and them speaking English. I just like going through the drive-thru. You speaking Spanish and they're speaking German. You won't get what you're ordering. You'll do good if you understand when they say drive forward. You don't know they're saying that if they're speaking a language you don't speak. Well, I got up to this place, you see, and I'd heard all this talk all the way up there on the bus. And I was thinking, sitting in a pew, I think there were five, well, it was a pew, it wasn't chairs. This guy had built this little chapel by himself, and I don't remember how old he was, but he was old then, so I know he's gone to glory. He built this little chapel by hand, and the pews was wide enough to hold about four. You got to be careful with these sizes because it may hold four normal sizes. But if you're real skinny, you could probably get five, maybe six in there. You'd be tight. I mean, real tight. But say you could set four people in each one comfortably. Well, I'm sitting about four rows back, and I got the whole pew to myself. And James and Bob Jackson and all the elders, which I wasn't an elder, I was young in the Lord. They were down front praying over Bob Jackson to be healed. Another story. And I'm sitting there in the pew, And I'm saying, I'm talking to Jesus in my mind, not verbally, up here, I'm saying. Did y'all hear that? It didn't come through here, did it? No, but it went through there. Okay? I said to him, Lord, I realize these guys has got something going on. I like it. But I don't know what they're talking about. But if it's for real, do it to me. And just like that, it came. Well, you know, a lot of things happened that weekend. But one thing that I noticed coming back is I had a new word. It's three new words. Praise you, Jesus. That was on my lips constantly. I couldn't get it off. I didn't want to get it off, but it was there all the time. I mean, I'd wake up saying, praise you, Jesus. I'd go to bed, praise you, Jesus. Good night, praise you, Jesus. And it suddenly occurred to me later, weeks later, that boy, I had a love for Jesus that wouldn't quit. Now that's a term you can take with you to the grave. Listen to that. Wouldn't quit. Not just because things were going real good for me. I still don't understand how he did that. I don't care. See, he did it. Because somebody was reaching out to touch a hem. See what I'm saying? It's a small thing to do. Produces one big change in people's lives. You know how much intestinal fortitude it takes to lay in the street on a mat just waiting on the guy to come by and saying, I'm going to wait here as long as it takes because I can't go anywhere anyway, but I am going to touch his hem when he comes by. And all that touched him were healed. Not some of them. All of them. Do we know anyone who says, I begged and pleaded and asked and my life's a miserable mess. I can't get it right. I've touched everything that I can touch. I've asked him to do this and I've asked him to do that. Nothing's happening. We know anybody like that? Do you? You know somebody like that? Do you? Jesus is not picky. He doesn't change his words. He doesn't change his offer. He doesn't change his mercy or his grace. I mean, we look at the guys who lowered the sick man. He tore the guy's roof off and lowered the sick man down through the roof. And we say, my, they had great faith. Sure. They had something inside of them that says, I'm going this way no matter what. And we call it faith. Maybe. Is Jesus a respecter of persons? Is he? Does he think more highly of James? Does he think more highly of you than he does Miss Connie? No. Where have we divided all this stuff up? Where's the church gone in offering a solution to the hurting world? Membership in a church? You get more out of a country club than you do a church. I'm serious. Man, they party. They have dinners that spreads that you wouldn't believe. If you're a golfer, they have nice golf courses. Ooh. They can get with the program. Bridge clubs for the ladies. They don't change anything. You'll never see that peace that passes understanding being found at the country club. By the way, I found it in Asheville. When my wife of, how many of the years then? 42? 41? 3 years ago? 98. Gosh, time is going by fast. I didn't know I was getting so mature so quickly. 9 years ago? 9 years ago? Almost died. She got within 15 minutes of it, according to the doctor. He doesn't hold a key, so I know he didn't know what he was talking about. But he said she could have been dead in 15 minutes. And she thought she was going to die for the next 4 days. But I found that peace on the fifth day. Spending the 5 days with her in the hospital room. She was sick and there wasn't anything wrong with me. I was in good shape. 9 years younger. I could still go jogging. But the peace came that some of you have already experienced. Is there anything in this world like it, Edom? No, not in this world. I can't wait to see the next one, because it's going to be that way every day. I mean, I just can't imagine. If I don't do anything else, because I don't expect to say anything that's going to make you just charge right out and get baptized by Jesus. But I do expect this from you. I expect your curiosity to be raised just enough that you'll peek under the curtain. You'll go look. You'll pray, or you'll seek, or you'll knock, whatever it takes. You do it. Don't wait on somebody to splash you with a bucket of Gatorade and call it the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because that's not going to happen. They may splash you with a Gatorade, but nothing gets in your heart that Jesus don't put there. I think he cleared that up real good when he started talking about the food that you got to worry about eating. He says, don't you worry about food. Whatever you put in your mouth passes straight through. Doesn't go into the heart. You could eat anything you like. Now, you don't have to like everything that's out there to eat. It's preference. But what goes in the heart, that's God's place. And man has no right nor does he have an ability to put anything in there or take anything out. That's God's place. And if you ask him and you're serious, I can guarantee you success. And then life takes on something that you just won't believe. Finally, after all these years, you fall in love with something that nothing changes. Not a wife, not children, not friends. Nothing gets in the way of it. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus put it this way. If you don't love me more than your wife or your husband or your children or your brother, you can carry it as far as you want to. If you don't love him more than them, you're not worthy of him. Now that's coming from the master who is telling it to you straight. That's straight up. Yeah? And now to get that love for him has to come from him. That's what he came to do. Put that love in your heart. Then you will love him like no one else that you've ever even met or seen. Then he becomes number one. And your next person, if you're married, should be your wife or husband. And then your children. And if you want to go on down the line, whatever. But anybody that you meet, they should be loved at least as much as you love yourself. Amen? That's the end of that. Anybody have a question? It's your big chance. He's just fortunate Western wasn't here. We could have really got it because we were going to have two mics set up and go back and forth. This could have taken all afternoon for us both to run down. They tell me that the best way to end things is to pray and say, have a good lunch. What do you think? You know, praying is like thinking out loud. You know that, don't you? It's just like talking. I mean, boy, I don't know where all this heavenly prayer stuff came from. I mean, I'm reluctant to do this anyway because he told us to go in the closet. And, you know, we don't have one here. We got a curtain, but you know I'll be back there because you could see me. But I think that's just what I need, prayer for me, I hope. Is this enough? Do I need more convincing? Do you need him to baptize you with the Holy Ghost? If that's a need, do you need him to do it? Now, I'm going to tell you what, he can do it anywhere. He doesn't have to be at a church. I saw it happen in a bathroom. Well, I didn't see it. This person I know had it happen in the bathroom with just them there. Yeah, so it can happen anywhere. See, it's when you're willing to reach out and say, okay, Lord, whatever, your way, I'll do it your way. I'm giving you permission. You can have my life, whatever way it is. Okay? Now, when you get gutsy enough to do that with him, you'll be there. Okay? All right. I hate it so warm in here because everybody wants to go to sleep, see? I had a tough week this week. We went to Kentucky Friday. We went to Kentucky Friday and came back. We got back Saturday morning early. 2 o'clock. Lord, you promised us that if we'd put your word out, it wouldn't come back void. I've done my best. I ask you to move on the hearts that need to be in love with you and with their mates, if they have one, and if not, to at least love each other as themselves. If you'll put that love in us, we'll do it. In Jesus' name. Amen.